the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak.
May the Lord bless to our hearts and understanding the readings from his holy word. Dr. Larry gave us some wonderful insights into the current warfare the Christians are facing today. In Kings, we found the admonition from King Solomon at the ceremony at the completion of the temple. Let your word be confirmed, he said. My word is my bond. Let me give you my word. Rings hollow today. The psalmist extols the virtues of happiness, while the United States doesn't even make the top of the international list of being happy. He sings, happy are those who make God the center of their lives. While in the Gospel of John simply asks, to whom shall we go for eternal life? Now, Paul was closing his letter to that church at Ephesus, and he sat there dictating, and he looked up. He was chained to the wrist of a Roman soldier. There was that uniform. And a metaphor came to mind, a panoply of armor. Put on the full armor of God. Christians, we're in the middle of a battle between God's vision for God's world and evil. Now, we modern folk living in the early years of this 21st century may find it difficult to accept there is a power such as evil, much less an evil one, although we do have Satan's statue in Detroit. Our culture teaches that people are inherently good. In fact, given the right training, education, and enough law and order, we're going to get better and better. The Pharisees preach that view. But Paul knew that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. One of our famous Supreme Court justices once said, I don't know what pornography is, but I will recognize it when I see it. Well, we see lots of it today. Movies, TV, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. Evil is something bad, isn't it? The New York Times editorial trivialized the beggars, homeless, and topless in Times Square as the mayor sought to restore some cleanup that his predecessors had already arranged. Paul was using the imagery of the day. There was this cosmic battle going on between good and evil. It was described as the war scroll of the Qumran community, the holy war of God, they called it. Isaiah speaks of the messianic king who will bring peace. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness and faithfulness will be his belt. Paul said, God's love is stronger than that of the principalities and powers, the authorities and the rulers of the day. Theologian Marcus Bark defined it, those institutions and structures by which earthly matters and invisible realms are administered, and without which no human life is possible. Today we call those the social, political, economic, and cultural structures of world history. Under the influence of the power of evil, they oppose the power of good. What more evidence do we need? Sudan, Haiti, Somalia, Rwanda, Darfur, Iraq, Afghanistan, even to our own nation. Put on God's armor. You see, Paul's metaphor is an invitation for us to band together in order to defeat our spiritual enemies. The Roman panoply was such that a soldier was protected only so long as he remained in the ranks with his unit, with their shields locked together. The armor protected only the front, not the back. Always face the enemy. Armor works only in community. It was the belt of truth. The belt was attached to the soldier's tunic, and that held his sword. It gave him the freedom of movement. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." We have the belt of truth. The truth is that God loves us, and our ability to trust each other, which surveys indicate, is in very short supply today. In the NIV and NRSV, the next is the breastplate of righteousness, while the New English Bible says coat of mail. This echoes Isaiah, where God himself puts on the armor to go out and repay his enemies for their evil. And it means integrity, uprightness. The breastplate is the shield constructed to protect the heart of the soldier. Integrity of heart. The way in which we live is the way in which we protect ourselves against evil. A worthy life. Sandals. The sandals enable one to move out. They were made with cleats in order to get better traction. They enable the soldier to move either quickly over difficult terrain or be able to stand his ground. And they were taught to stand in a circle or square and face off the enemy. Paul used the metaphor to describe our task of taking the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard this gospel of peace. And the shield of faith, avoiding the fiery darts of the enemy. Shades of Kevin Costner and Robin Hood. But that shield protected against the arrows and flames. See, it was a wet shield, primary defense. Temptations today will be like those fiery arrows. And our faith enables us to resist evil because of our trust in Christ Jesus, for we walk in and with him with the helmet of salvation. Paul has told the Ephesians, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." We have these fancy words, justification. Simply it means just as if I had never sinned. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And nothing can ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. As Leslie Brand put it, we are clothed in righteousness and gifted with salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, our offense. The sword, Paul tells us, is the Word of God. Hebrews put it, the Word of God is alive, is active, it cuts keenly. God is present in you and in me through the Word of God. Now, Lutheran pastor Lisa Nieman suggests we should use some more current words to depict this. Perhaps these new wearable tech items that are around, the high-tech watch, which I don't understand, providing data for life, high-tech running shoes, jackets with blinking lights, high-tech helmets with cameras, radiation-proof clothes, Google's glasses, and of course some lotion to repel insects. But our greatest defensive weapon, Paul describes as constant, intense, unselfish prayer. Theologian Lady Russell asked, what are we to do with all these pieces of armor? Truth? Righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, spirit. We can understand that these are weapons of Christian spirituality, freedom for which Christ has set us free. Now, we Christians use this big fancy word, sanctification. But the word today is spirituality. You hear it all over. It's almost as popular as the word diversity in our culture. Christians responding to God's call by remaining open to God's love and the needs of others. In the paraphrased words of the psalmist, one day in the center of God's will is incomparably better than a thousand spent in pursuit of self-centered aims and objectives. Well, to use another one of Paul's metaphors, to run the race before us. Run the race before us. George Leonard in The Ultimate Athlete states there they exhibit five transformational traits. They unite body, mind, spirit, explore inner and outer being, surpass limitations, accept pain, joy, aware of victory, defeat, and serve as a model or guide. Today, Olympians are preparing for next year's games, and the embodiment of that Olympic creed was expressed by Baron de Coubertin. The important thing in the Olympic Games is not winning, but taking part. The essential thing in life is not conquering, but fighting well. Well, Vince Lombardi probably accurately more describes the American view. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Check out all the new managers and coaches in sports each year. Industry follows the same example, GM, Ford, Chrysler, et al. I kind of like Robert Fogelman's thoughts and all I really wanted to know I learned in kindergarten. He speaks of his next-door neighbor's philosophy. He says they have it mounted on his wall. The race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but you better bet that way. And about winning, it isn't important. What really counts is how you play the game. About losing, it isn't important. What really matters is how you play the game. About playing the game, you play to win. Athletes talk about the flow. When your whole mind, your whole body, the whole spirit are completely engaged and coordinated, you can do no wrong. Russians call that the right moment. Like Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak in 41, John Wooden's 10 NAACP basketball titles, 88-game streak, Jack Nicklaus' 20 victories, Oral Hershiser's 59 scoreless innings, Michael Phelps' 8 golden medals with a 7th one won by a fingernail. Prayer enables Christians to experience light moments, feel the flow, when they can do no wrong by praying constantly. While the Christian community perseveres through teamwork, successful teams exhibit characteristics of cohesion, high morale, and selflessness. Christians united in prayer, communicating a common faith, confident in our triumph over our enemies, we put on the armor of God. Friends, you're clothed in God's righteousness, gifted with salvation. The Paul says, stand firm. Walk God's path. Fill your mind with his word and heed his will. Run this life's race with your faith centered upon the one who made you his own. Keep awake, be aware, abandon self to God. Imitate Jesus Christ. Let others in on this secret, this mystery. God loves you just the way you are. I will be your God. You shall be my people. That's us. So we are. Let's live like that, like it was so.